May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 771. 771. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Hymn 771.
Shall we read this morning in the Holy Word of God from the Book of Psalms and number 69. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonour. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tent. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there, and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. May the Lord bless to us each the reading of his holy word, and help us to pray. Dear Lord, Almighty God in heaven above, do help each one of us now to bow before thee in prayer. And Lord, may we each be given a heart to pray. Lord, may we be like thy servant Elijah, who prayed in his prayer. Lord, we pray that it might be so with each one of us. Leave us not to a prayer of words alone, but Lord, do grant each of us that we might be enabled to pour out our heart, that we might rightly value the privilege of prayer. Lord, we do pray that we might be enabled to roll all our burdens upon thee, Lord, that we might be enabled to commit all our ways into thy hands, and to leave them there. Lord, we pray also that we might come before thee with humility, a right confession of our sin, our wretchedness, our unworthiness, Lord, we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies. Lord, we have read of the multitude of thy tender mercies, and we do have to thank thee, Lord, for so many mercies. The mercies in which all our praise excel, and we don't deserve any of them. Lord, do give us a true thankfulness for all that we have. Lord, help us to see it. Lord, there may be those things we feel to be in want of. We may come into thy house and begin another day with hard things, difficulties, weakness, trouble. Lord, how much we have to be thankful for. For whatever we face in our lives, we are still on praying ground. We are still out of a deserved hell. We are still able to meet in thy house with thy word before us. Lord, how much we have for our comfort that is not known by so many others. Lord, we pray for thy people throughout the whole earth, especially those in poverty and those who are persecuted, those who have not the freedoms that we do. Lord, we do pray thou wilt grant thy blessing even this day and time amongst each gathering of thy people. Lord, do remember us here this day. Lord, we do pray that we might each have a heart to worship thee. Lord, may we each be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We do pray, Lord, that we might have a desire to see thy face, to hear thy voice. Lord, as we have sung, to know thee more, and to love thee more. Lord, we pray that these things might be the desire of each of us, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, whatever our needs, whatever our age, our condition, Lord, we do pray that it might be our desire to walk with thee, to part with all and follow him. Lord, draw our hearts away from the cares of this life. Lord, may it be to come apart this day and to rest a while. Lord, draw our hearts from earthly things unto thyself. Lord, may we have a glimpse even today of heavenly things, the superior things, better things. Lord, may we be kept from the inferior things of this world. We do pray for each one gathered here this morning. We pray for each of the children, the little ones. We thank thee for them each. We thank thee that they are able to come to thy house. We do pray, Lord, thy blessing upon them, thy help, thy watchful care. Lord, may it be that they are brought to seek thee whilst they are young. May there be a few things that they can understand from the services of thy help. Do help them in the Sunday school also. We pray for thy the blessing upon that work. Lord, we do pray that there might be that seed raised up to serve thee, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. We pray for the young people going forth into life with many difficulties and temptations, and many hard things, and loneliness, and being different. Lord, do teach them what is right and wrong, and give them that strength to stand for what is right. And do direct them in the ways that they should go. And help them to call upon thy name. And do lead them forth by the right way, even in that way that leadeth to a city of habitation. We pray for those in the midst of life with many cares and burdens, hard questions, troubles upon troubles, the difficulties of life. Lord, do give grace to help in time of need. Lord, and with all the busyness of our life, we do pray, Lord, that we might be enabled to put first things first, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We pray for any who are in weakness, any not able to be with us, any who are unwell at this time, any, Lord, who are cast down, full of sorrow and sadness and loneliness. We pray also for those in older age. Lord, do give them that strength equal to the day. Lord, as we are each young and old, hastening on towards eternity, we do pray, Lord, that each one of us might be prepared. Lord, may it be that urgent, pressing case with us. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Lord, do put the question out of question for us each. Lord, may our hearts be drawn unto thee. Lord, quicken us by thy power. Work in each one of our hearts. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Lord, and what wickedness and confusion and the enmity we see in the earth, and Lord, the blind leaders of the blind, the turning back from thy word. Lord, how we deserve thy judgment upon us. We do pray, Lord, in wrath, do turn us unto thee. Lord, stir up thy people to be exercised concerning the state of the world, our country, the churches. Lord, we do pray that there might be an outpouring of prayer, that we might yet see the better days. Lord, that thou wilt in wrath have mercy upon us, turn us again, and cause thy face to shine. Lord, we pray that there might be an outpouring of thy Spirit. There might be those showers of blessing. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? So, Lord, do Bless thy people this day. Bless each one of us gathered. Bless this church and people. Lord, may there be that flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. May there be many who can speak of thy work in their hearts. Lord, may there be that time of jubilee. In that day the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come who were ready to perish, and the outcasts. Lord, may there be a great gathering in, and make this the glad hour. Lord, it is thy work we pray for, and thy work that we need. So Lord, do help us now as we turn to thy word. Give us each, Lord, that which we need. Keep us from doing wrong in thy holy sight. Forgive all of our many sins. Do forgive our poor prayers, and make up where we fail. And we ask all things for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 872. 872. Gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. Hymn 872.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord for his help. I would ask you to turn this morning to the Song of Solomon and chapter 8. The Song of Solomon, chapter 8. We'll read the first part of verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Here in this beautiful little book of the Song of Solomon, we have set before us in symbolic, figurative language the love between Christ and his church. Many different ways we see it set forth in these chapters. Perhaps sometimes we may feel hesitant to read this book, but I would encourage you to read it. Pray over it. And especially those of you who seek the Lord, especially those of you who are concerned to know if you are one of the Lord, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? I believe you'll find a few gems here and there in this book for your encouragement, particularly thinking of two verses, one at the beginning, one at the end. Chapter 1, verse 4, draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me. Draw me, we will run. You can't run yourself. Perhaps you've tried to run yourself. It hasn't done you any good. You need the Lord to draw you. Well, these are the drawings of the Lord himself. You haven't always wanted to pray this prayer. These are those drawings of his love. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. You haven't always been able to say it. You haven't always felt it. These are the drawings of his love. And many waters cannot quench this love. What else do we have at the end of chapter 8? Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. This is one who is speaking to the Lord, who dwells in the gardens, who dwells in his church, who dwells in the hearts of his people, and looks on others who have heard the voice of the Lord. Look on others who are being blessed. They want something for themselves. Cause me to hear it. You notice what word we have that comes in both of those two verses, me. It's something personal. It's something that is needed. Something that must be known and felt. Draw me. Cause me to hear it. So just at the beginning I would say this. Don't be afraid of this book. Perhaps there were those things that are hard for us to understand. But in reading it as a whole, we see so clearly the love of God, the love of Christ to his people, and their love to him in return. And we see it right through the Song of Solomon, that we love him because he first loved us. Many waters cannot quench love. We have in this book the depth, the strength of the love between Christ and his church, between the church and Christ. And the great point here in this verse is that it cannot be destroyed. It may, we might say, ebb and flow. It may at times our love to him be less, but his love is unchangeable. And however cold and faint our love is to the Lord, it cannot be destroyed. It is unquenchable. Of course, we have it in the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian in the Interpreter's House. And there was that dimly burning flame, and there was the enemy pouring water, many waters upon the flame. And the flame was not extinguished. The flame did not go out. And the interpreter shows the Christian out of sight. There is one who is continually pouring oil upon that flame, that it cannot be extinguished. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. We think of how from all eternity there was a people chosen, loved not because of any good in themselves, but chosen because he would, because it was his will that there should be a people elect, loved with an everlasting love, a love from everlasting, and a love to everlasting, a love that cannot be quenched, a love that cannot be destroyed, a love that cannot be drowned. And the Lord says to his people, yea, I have loved thee. What a difference there is between those two words, I and thee. I, the great almighty God of heaven and earth. I, the one who created all things out of nothing. I, the one who rules and reigns in the earth. And thee, the one who says, I am black. The one who says, I am wretched. The one who says, I am filthy. I am polluted. I am lost. And I am undone. I have no hope in myself. The Lord says, I have loved thee. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays as he chose that people, loved with an everlasting love. He chose them because he loved them. He chose them not because of anything they could or would do, but because they were loved. Let me just turn to it so I can quote it to you in Deuteronomy. The Lord hath not chosen you because you were more. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, not because you were more, not because you were better, not because of anything you could do, but because the Lord loved you. How easy it is, so many, we can be caught up, we think we need to be better. In one sense we do. We need to have done this, we need to have done that, and then we'll find the Lord's favour. We've got it the wrong way round. The Lord chose a people whom he loved, chose them knowing all their sins, knowing all that they would do wrong, knowing all their faults and failings, and he still loved them. Think of that hymn, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. There's so much in that notwithstanding. There's so much in that all. He saw me ruined in the fall and loved me notwithstanding all. In spite of everything, in spite of all our depths of our sins, in spite of all our depravity, in spite of all our wretchedness, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because of anything that you have done or that you could do, but because he loved you and loved you with an everlasting love that cannot be quenched, that cannot be drowned, that cannot be taken away. We see, as we trace the love of God to his people, and we see it through the pages of Scripture, and we see the children of Israel. They were a chosen people, and yet how they sinned, how they backslid, how they made the same mistakes again and again. How they stumbled and fell. How they did those things that they should not have done. They murmured, they complained. And we look at them and we think, how could they behave like that? Well, are we any better? I don't think we are. I speak to myself. We start at home, as it were, we look in our own hearts. There's plenty there that's not as it should be. There's plenty there that should cause us grief. Plenty to cast us down. There's plenty to make us sad. We are not as we should be. We don't do the things that we should. And we do the things that we shouldn't. But these waters, they cannot quench love. There may be many of these waters, many things to cast us down, many things that are not as they should be. But they cannot quench love. They cannot drown the love of Christ to his people. And many waters that cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. We see so often in the Word of God those who feel to come into deep waters. We read in one of the Psalms, and it comes to my mind another Psalm, Psalm 88. And here we have a psalmist who's brought very low. There's very little, if anything, in this psalm to give any hint of encouragement in the psalmist. I have cried day and night. My soul is full of troubles. My life draweth nigh unto the grave. Laid in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deep. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Not a few ripples, a few troubles, but all thy waves. The psalmist says, I've been afflicted with all thy waves. Down in the pit, down in great darkness, full of troubles. Perhaps there's one of you, or more than one of you this morning, and you know what this means, and perhaps you're in it right now. Full of trouble, full of darkness, full of sorrow. And more than that, in this condition you're able to cry unto the Lord. That's a mercy in itself. You're still on praying ground. Still pray, for God will all explain. Nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. So the psalmist says, in the morning shall my prayer prevent, shall my prayer meet thee? Why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? Have you got a prayer like this? Why? 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 Why do I feel to be cast off? Why is thy face hidden from me? Why have I come into such a place? Why? In the deeps, afflicted with all thy ways. And so the Lord's people are often brought into such a place, whether in the depths of it or in this sense, that they are brought to feel the troubles, the sorrows of the way that will overwhelm them. I think it was just last Lord's Day of going up to Norwich, and with all the rain that we've had, the main road to Norwich was flooded. Only one lane open. If you've been up that way recently, you'll know what I mean. And they said to me at Norwich, they said they don't know where the water's coming from. There was dozens of tankers there pumping all the water away continually day and night. The trouble, the water kept coming and coming and coming. They didn't know where it was coming from. And they couldn't stop it either. You know, perhaps there's one of you today, you feel like your troubles are like that. They keep on coming. They keep on coming. They keep on coming. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Perhaps it is your sin. The more you strive against sin's power, you sin and stumble, but the more. Well, what can we say in such a place? Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways. The Lord Jesus himself, in love to his people, everlasting love, he has borne the wrath of all their sins. He has borne the punishment for all their sins. He has paid the price for all their sins. One of the hymns says that once in floods of wrath, the Lamb sank, and called it baptism. Overwhelmed was he indeed that his people should be freed. You think of that, let's ponder on that for a moment with the Lord's help. One time, nearly 2,000 years ago, and only once, he had made one offering for sin. That was what was needed. There is nothing more to be done, nothing more to pay. That sacrifice, that offering was a perfect, complete sacrifice to pay all of the sins of all of his people once in floods of wrath, the Lamb. We read of it in that psalm. You say, well, this was a psalm of David, Psalm 69. Well, so it was. But did you not see in this psalm also, did you not hear the voice of David's greater son? Did we not notice how these words are the words of the Lord Jesus? He says, deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. And how many there were that hated him. And what a deep mire and deep waters the Lord Jesus came into once in floods of wrath. You see the Lord Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring out his soul in agony, sweating as it were great drops of blood, falling to the ground. Deliver me out of the mire, if it be possible. Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless. Not my will, but thine be done. These floods of wrath could not quench the love of God, the love of Christ to his people. Many waters, and how many waters there were, how much we cannot imagine. The water flood the Lord Jesus endured as he bore the wrath of his Father, the hiding of his face, that unimaginable weight of all the sins of all of his people. Let not the water flood overflow me. That great weight, he bore it for a chosen race and thus became their hiding place. It did not overflow him. He bore it with strength enough and none to spare. Hide not thy face from thy servant, I am in trouble. Thou hast known my reproach. What is it, verse 20? Very sacred, solemn word, reproach. It hath broken mine heart. What was the reproach? As he took upon himself all the sins of all of his people, and he bore them upon himself. He says, they're mine iniquities. That one who had done no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Those sins he would bear them away. Why? Because he loved his people with an everlasting love. And those many waters that could not quench that love. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. Perhaps sometimes we come into this place, we say, I'm full of heaviness. Well, we may be, And I don't try to diminish the heaviness and troubles that you may feel. I say this carefully and lovingly, we will never know the heaviness, the reproach, the sorrow, the many waters that the Lord Jesus knew. Think on what thy Saviour bore in the gloomy garden. Think of this, that his way was much rougher and darker than mine. And so we see the many waters that the Lord Jesus endured. They could not quench that great love, a greater love that hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. As we see the Lord Jesus in all that he suffered, all that he endured, many waters who cannot quench love. And then here again in this psalm we see the matchless condescension. The Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Perhaps you say, well, it's very nice to hear of the Lord Jesus, and I like to hear of the Lord Jesus, but I don't know if these things were done for me. The Lord heareth the poor. He hears the cries of the poor and the needy. He hears the cries of those who say, do I love the Lord? Am I his? Am I not? The Lord heareth the poor. He says, come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. And this he gives you. The one thing that you need is given. Has it been given to you to feel your need of him? This he gives you. It is the Spirit's rising beam. The Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. So we have these many waters that cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. But how often we have in the Word of God those deep waters that the Lord's people are brought into. I think of two in a few pages over in Isaiah chapter 43, where we have these well-known words, the deep waters, that when thou passest through the waters, that I will be with thee. Can't just turn to those words, but you know those words that I mean. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou passest through these things, I will not forsake thee. Here it is, Isaiah 43, verse 2. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Who is the Lord speaking to? Those who he loves, those who he's redeemed. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob. O Jacob, Jacob who made so many mistakes, Jacob who stumbled and fell so many times, Jacob who kept getting himself into trouble. But now thus saith the Lord, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, Jacob, all these many waters of your faults and failings, and those things you've done that you shouldn't, and haven't done that you should. Jacob, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine, chosen, loved, redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, that blood which cleanseth from all sin. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Perhaps as one of you that you may say today, well, I haven't got any of these waters, I haven't got any troubles. Well, we don't wish trouble on anyone, but you don't know what's tomorrow. You don't know what may be before you. And perhaps when you come there, you'll need this word. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Why not? For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the west, from the east, and gather thee from the west. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I have redeemed thee. A few chapters before we have this. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will be with thee when thou passest through the waters. We have later in Isaiah the temptations of Satan. Perhaps some of you know what these many waters are. We sung of it on Tuesday, I think. The mighty enemies without, much mightier within. Do we know about these things, or do we just sing about them? In Isaiah 59 we have this. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know what it is for the enemy to come in like a flood? To come in like a raging torrent, full of those things which would cast you down, cause you to doubt, cause you to fear, tempt you to give up, to call no more on Jesus' name, to cause you to, if he could, put you off the things of God. Or perhaps to delay thinking about these things for a time, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, one who is far mightier than Satan himself, shall lift up a standard against him, shall lift up that standard going forth into battle, conquering and to conquer, that one who has defeated Satan, that one who, though he has such power, he is mighty, he's a mighty foe, but he's not almighty. When he comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Many, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. So we see here the nature, if I can use that word, of the love of Christ to his people. It cannot be quenched, it cannot be destroyed, it cannot be drowned. How is our love in return Perhaps we say, it's cold, it's faint, it's not as it should be. Perhaps you feel that that flame of love in your heart has been extinguished. Has it gone out? You say, all these waters, I don't know what I used to know. I don't feel how I used to feel. But those many waters, they cannot quench that love of the people of God to the Lord. It may be brought very low. You may not be able to discern it in the midst of those sharp temptations of the enemy. But that flame can never be put out. Whom once he loves, he never leaves. He loves them to the end. And those many waters cannot quench his love. We have a few hymns that speak of that love that cannot be quenched. I think especially of that hymn on the friend of sinners, a friend there is, your voice is joined. Ye saints to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine. His love's a constant flame. When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near, with heaven and earth at his command. He waits to answer prayer. And then hymn 330, we have this. His grace shall to the end. What comes at the top of that hymn? Weak believers, encouraged. Have we got any weak believers needing encouragement this morning? Those who feel to be in a foreign land, those who feel to be far off, those who hang their harps on the willows, his grace shall to the end stronger and brighter shine, nor present things, nor things to come. Those things you're in right now, those things that may come, they shall not quench the spark divine. The time of love will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say, for me, tarry his leisure then. Wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveal his love with power. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Well, that hymn spoke of the things to come. None of us know what things are to come in our lives. We don't know what's happening in the next half an hour. But there is one thing to come for each one of us. And that is eternity. A vast eternity is near. And it's getting nearer. It's not getting further away. We are standing on the brink of it. A vast eternity is near. And how wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan? Perhaps some of you fear. You say, well, how will it be with me when I come there? What if it has all been my imagination? What if I've been deceived? What if I feel so cold when I come there? What if my heart is so weak, so faint? Many waters, the swellings of Jordan, that last day cannot quench love. Because having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He loved them from everlasting. And he loved them to everlasting. And he says, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Many waters cannot quench love. They may on the main of temptation be tossed, their sorrows may swell as the sea, but none of the ransomed can ever be lost. The righteous shall hold on his way. They shall be safely landed at last in heaven above. Not one it shall be lost. You know, I'm just going to close with this as it comes to my mind. I haven't thought of this, but in the end of the Acts of the Apostles, where we have Paul being shipwrecked, and that ship was broken up and broken with the violence of the waves, and Paul had that promise given to him, "Fear not, I have given thee all them that sail with thee." Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. What does Paul say to the men? "Except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And be of good cheer." Because of that word that was spoken to him. But then that time came when they were beaten, shipwrecked by the storm, by the waves. And that ship was broken up. And they cast themselves into the sea. And those that could swim should get first to land, and the rest. This is the end of Acts chapter 27. And the rest. Some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. So it will be, all the Lord's people. There may be some strong swimmers. There may be some who cling on to a broken piece of the ship. You understand the meaning here, that they will all be brought safe into heaven at last. In many waters it cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. May the Lord forgive anything amiss. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Roland Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. And Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach. The chapel trustees will meet, if the Lord will, tomorrow evening in the vestry at 7 o'clock. That's tomorrow, not the 18th, which was wrong in the email. And there'll be a church meeting for the election of new chapel trustees on Friday, the 22nd of March at 7:30. To be followed by a members' prayer meeting. Our closing hymn is 1016. 1016. God of my life, thy gracious power, through varied deaths my soul has led, oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. Hymn 1016.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.